4:39, you're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand. All right, a vigil tonight, a candlelight vigil for Chicago's Uber and Lyft drivers who have been victimized by carjackings. You know, we've talked a lot about carjackings in the city over the past year, and more often than not, or often anyway, they have been targeting rideshare drivers. On the phone line now to talk about that is Lenny Sanchez. He's an Independent Drivers Guild organizer and a driver. Lenny, welcome to WGN.
Thank you so very much for having me. I appreciate very much the opportunity to get some more light on this problem, this crisis.
All right, Uber or Lyft? Which are you?
I do both.
Do you?
I'm loyal to myself.
What percentage of drivers do both?
I don't have a percentage to give you, but if I had to guesstimate, it'd be in the 80th to 90th percentile.
And
it's
Uber,
a very high number that are playing both.
And they don't mind that, Uber or Lyft?
They can't mind. I mean, they might bother them, but it's, you know, we're independent contractors by their definition. So, you know,
that's a good point.
We are free to work on any application we feel.
They're not going to give you benefits. You can work for both of them.
I'm sorry.
They don't
give those benefits.
Yeah, they're not going to give you benefits, so you can work for both of them.
Correct.
All right. Tell me about the situation when it comes to carjackings in the city and rideshare drivers. I mean, I've heard stories. Of course, there was a horrific attack last week, but how often is this happening?
Well, unfortunately, nowadays, as you know, it's like a very trendy thing for these minors to be doing nowadays. So we've seen an increase of approximately 200% in carjackings across the city. And in the rideshare industry, it's at least that much. I would guesstimate much higher because we are very easy targets for these carjackers. The application's very appealing for them, as is the entire process of giving a ride.
I mean, you basically pull up, open your car door, and say, get in. I mean, you literally say that to people.
Yeah, complete strangers, and they know that, so it's not that unexpected jerk at your door handle at a random intersection. They're luring us in, and they're also shopping for which person on the app, because they have our selfies, might be someone that has the characteristics that they want to target as an easy target and the vehicle that they want as well.
Have you been targeted, or do you know people who have?
A plethora of people, my friend, that have been targeted, that have been carjacked, that have been shot. I myself had a passenger pull out a gun on me. My colleague Kevin has been carjacked. My colleague Steve has been shot. Not all of us by passengers, but myself and my experience by passenger, and majority by passengers.
Wow. And so how does it work, Lenny? So when you see that there's a ride available, you're not obligated to take it, right? You can pass it up?
That is correct. We can decline as many rides as we like or accept as many as we want.
And the downside of that is if you start to avoid areas, then those areas are underserved. And that was the whole sales pitch for Uber and Lyft in the first place, that you guys are going to be available where a lot of cabs weren't.
You're absolutely nailing it. And for a time there, Uber and Lyft and the rideshare industries did fill that gap and serviced those underserved areas that were in the past by the taxi community. But unfortunately, many drivers now are avoiding these areas, and because of dynamic pricing, a.k.a. surge, prime time on Lyft, these areas are organically seeing their prices for their rides increase significantly, and the wait times as well, too.
So, they're seeing the rides go up because there aren't drivers around there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Have you ever skipped a ride because it felt hinky?
I actually have had some really crazy situations in my experience, and I have canceled the ride plenty of times because of immediately the passenger getting in the vehicle and just being outrageous, whether they had open container in their vehicle or they were requesting to do illegal acts in the vehicle.
So then what do you do, Lenny? Do you just stop, pull over, and say get out?
So when it's a non-emergency type situation, non-threatening, yeah, I tell them, you know, this is my own business. I'm canceling this ride. I don't feel safe, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Please exit the vehicle and order another ride. But when I did have a passenger pull out a firearm on me, I didn't have the guts to tell him, you know, I don't feel safe right now. I'm going to cancel this ride, sir. Please exit the vehicle. He told me he was going to blow my head off immediately upon entering the vehicle. He was completely drunk and outrageous and thrown out of a bar, and that happened to be my passenger. And he just took out his rage on me. So I continued with the ride.
Yeah, so what happened and how did it end?
So he pulled out his firearm on me, was jamming it against my head and my rib cage, commanded me to give him a ride to help him find, to be honest with you, a prostitute. And I took him to a an adult business where I told him he can try his luck there. I didn't know if he can succeed or not. And I dropped him off, and I was in complete state of shock. And you're making me shake and get goosebumps reliving telling you this story right now, my friend.
I'm sorry about that, but okay.
No, it's okay. So I want to tell you the worst part about that. Yeah. That was Uber's solution to this customer. Their initial suggestion was that they would never pair me with that customer ever again. I got outrageous on the phone, and I asked them, what does a passenger have to do to get deactivated then? Because the only thing left that I see that he could have done was actually pull the trigger and blow my brains on my dashboard. Because you guys want his commission that bad, you're going to allow him to continue ordering.
All right, so what do you want Uber and Lyft to do? What's the at this vigil, what are you going to call on them to do?
To stop putting statements out in the media and actually do something to deter criminals from finding their app so appealing to target us.
It's amazing to me.
And I can tell you some specific suggestions.
You go ahead.
So if an account is not verified, and I'll explain a verified account, then we suggest that every passenger that is requesting a ride has to take a selfie. Not for us drivers to be able to determine whether we want to take the passenger based on the selfie. We don't have to see it. We just want it to be entrusted with these applications so that when we are carjacked or we are involved in some sort of incident, that selfie can be used to help identify the criminals with police. And unfortunately, that is a big problem after the carjackings. These applications want to protect their image so much. They don't want any convictions. They don't want the driver to get any justice. So they make a poor driver that scrapes by have to retain an attorney to subpoena them for the data on that ride that they got carjacked on, my friend.
Okay, Lenny, listen, I wish you the best of luck at the rally tonight. I know it's a tough thing. I use Uber and Lyft quite a lot, and it's a great service. I hope I run into you one day on the road.
You can run into me whenever you want in person as well, too. I can give you my phone number, but I appreciate that very much. I hope anybody listening out there, there's 125,000 registered Uber drivers this time last year, is way more since the pandemic kicked in. You know somebody that's out there driving and hustling and making pennies to making this living. Please share this, that we're doing this visual, and share Independent Drivers Guild, IDGActNow.org. Please go sign up, follow us. That's anybody. But we need as much support as possible to stop this crisis.
Lenny Sanchez. All right, Lenny, stay safe. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News. Here's Mary.